Okay. It's been almost 2,000 years. And the question is, you know, well, what's the function? What's the purpose? You mourn Churban HaBayis, and it's something that happened a long, long time ago. You know, generally when any calamity befalls any thinking person, there's a certain amount of pain that's, natural. But after a year, Gzer al-Meshi, Shtakach min alev, right, Chazal, tell us that, of course, it was Gezer, it's natural, that after a year, you get on with your life. Avelo said, Veremes is midiraisa, only one day. It's only me, midivrei Chazal, that there's Avelo Shana. Right? So certainly we have to understand, the purpose and the function of Avelos on Churban HaBayis, something that happened nearly 2,000 years ago. Legend has it that shortly after the Churban, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was the Navi of the Churban who wrote Megillas Eicha, so he lived at the end of his life in Egypt. And he crossed paths with the famous philosopher Plato. Right? And they discussed metaphysics. We have a few sources that they met and they dialogued. So legend has it that in one of their dialogues, Plato asked them, this thing, you're still depressed about, the temple in Jerusalem. It's not mechok hachokma. Wise people get on with their lives. They move on. Happened already. So you move forward. Right? What's this? It's already happened quite a while ago, and you're still, in your avelus. Right? And legend has it that Yirmiyahu HaNavi told him, listen, you would never understand. You would never say, even though they spoke metaphysics all the time. Right? So to understand a little bit, what's behind that legend, why a man like Plato would never understand what Churban HaBayis is about, meaning why the avelus carries on, even though it's something happened in the past. Right, the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Yuma, right, Kol Dor Shelo Nivna Beis Hamikdash Biyamav Kilu Nechrova Biyamav, any generation that did not merit to see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, that generation is held accountable as if they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash themselves. Now that's not fair, really. Right, we were born into this, and we were born into this not when it was fresh, when anything could have been done about it. We're born into it centuries later. What's the pshat in that? Right? That if we don't merit seeing the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to be held accountable as if we destroyed it. Right? This situation was dumped on us. Right? We were born into it. So, my Rebbe, Dor Shiva Zichron Levracha, of Yaakov Weinberg, said a very important point, something that we really have to take away with us. Right? You take a look, at the time of creation, right, the state that it was, before, things got messed up, right? Adar Marishan had just opened his eyes, didn't spend a single day in yeshiva, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him. He was a Navi. God, he was born a prophet. God speaks to him immediately upon opening his eyes, didn't require any education, didn't require any conditioning, right? The revelation of divinity that you could hear, as it were, you'd be aware of the divine presence. It was there, on the spot. No one had to steig and work for it and build it. Chazal tell us, when he designed the world, he had in mind that he would have a dwelling place, here in the lower realm. And that's what the Midah called Shechina is all about. Shechina milosh v'shachanti besocham. It's one of the attributes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reveals himself with. He wants to dwell with us. It was all by design. When the world was clean and untainted, that was the state. Man was naturally a Navi, naturally in touch with the divine, and there was divine revelation throughout the world. As they heard, Kol Hashem Elokim Mishalch Bagan, right? There was Gilui Shechina, which means, right, the state, of the cosmos, right, with a Beis HaMikdash and with Gilui Shechina is natural, right? The world was always meant to be that way. So now, there's a very, very known principle, be it in physics, be it in medicine, things go back to their balance. You push something out of balance, right? it'll eventually bounce back and it'll settle, right? The same thing also in the field of medicine, right? That you get wounded, you know, the body tends to heal. Things go back to their natural state. Things go back to their natural balance. If I've demonstrated to you, right, that it's natural to have a Beis HaMikdash, right? The world was designed by God with that purpose, that there should be Gilui Shechina. And with all the ramifications of V'shachanti B'soicham, B'socha lo remar el B'socham, that the divine presence should rest in us, we should all be prophets. We should all be always mindful and always in contact with God. If I show you that that's natural, right? The world is designed by its etzem nature to be a place of Gilui Shechina. Man, who's Betzalim Elokim, was created to be a prophet. That's the natural state of man. Right? Only a few hundred years ago, right? In the time of the Ari, of course, the Ari had a Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital. This Rav Chaim Vital wrote a sefer called the Shari HaKedusha. It's a Musar sefer, really. You know, it's not even as demanding, right, as the Mesilas Yesharim or the Chovos HaLevavos. It's a pretty straightforward Musar sefer. And he says why he's writing this book in the introduction. He feels lonely. Feels lonely. There are not many Baalei Ruach HaKodesh anymore. Right? So there's him, you know, there's a few others. Raisi b'nei aliyah mu'atim heim. And he goes on and he laments. It's so natural to be a Navi. It is natural to have Ruach HaKodesh. You're a Tzelem Elokim, you have a neshama. It's the most natural thing to be in contact with God and to experience divine revelations. Right? So he's writing this book to help out the people. And that's all it takes, just tikkun amidas, right? Just, you know, get the corruption out of your system, straighten out your amidas, anyone could be a Navi. And this sefer was written only 500 years ago, right? About the same time, right, the Maral had a brother, Rav Asher of Regensburg. He wrote a sefer called the Sefer HaZikaron. Right? And in that book, which is currently out of print, he asked the following question. A person, you know, is a sugya in Gemara, that a person gets lost on the way, he's traveling, he forgets what day is Shabbos, right? What do you do, right? So there's a mahalach of the Bavli, of what to do, and there's a mahalach of the Yerushalmi, what to do. So ask Rav Asher of Regensburg the following kasha. I don't know what the Gemara's talking about. Shabbos comes, you feel it. What's the problem? That's what he writes. That's the kasha. It's right there. There's a man who lived only 500 years ago. Shabbos comes, you feel it. Right? So what's the teretz? Right? The teretz is, I see from the Gemara, we got to say, it's shayach that because he's on the road, he doesn't feel Shabbos. Right? The natural state of a human being and the natural state of cosmically of the world, just like the human being should naturally be a Navi, and a human being should naturally be sensitive to Ruchnius no less than he's sensitive, you know, with his five senses to Gashmius. Right? So if so, the Beis HaMikdash should have come back by now, because if everything goes back to its natural state, everything knocked out of balance, you know, bounces back. Any wound eventually heals. So that's what the Yerushalmi is saying in Yuma. Right, the Beis HaMikdash should have come back all by itself. All we needed to do was just hold tight, hold the level that we were born at, not deteriorate more. The Beis HaMikdash would have come back naturally, the way everything reverts back to its natural balance. So Elamai, why didn't the Beis HaMikdash come back? It must be that we're exerting more force that's barring the bounce back. And that's what it means. Any door that didn't see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash as if, you know, was destroyed in their days, because it's natural to have Gilui Shechina on earth. It's natural for people to be Nevi'im, right? Everything, divine revelation, you know, for the cosmos, for the individual, is what the type of world that God had in mind. Right? And if the world is not bouncing back, it must be that we're constantly contributing more new pollutants that's barring the world from healing, barring the world from bouncing back. And that's why Kilo Nechra Biyamav, and that's the real problem of Yeridas HaDoros. Right? It's not a problem, you know, so much that we're born in a lowly state. The problem is that we can't, like, you know, just dig ourselves into the ground and hold our position. to not regress more, because that's all it takes. If we just hold the level that we were born at and not deteriorate more, the universe would heal itself. And the base of mitzvah would come back, because the universe itself yearns for Gilu Yelokus, because Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Dira B'Tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have a kesher to Am Yisrael. He wanted to have V'Salachti B'Sochachem, right, to walk amongst us. Right? He wanted his line to shine upon us so we could be an Or L'Goyim. This is all by design. This wasn't added later. The universe was designed that way, and the universe is perfectly capable of bouncing back to that state. If we would stop, just stop, you know, constantly adding more pollutants that bar the bounce back, that bar the healing. But this world order, right, that comes into existence as a result of our sins is the only world order that the Goyim know. Right? Plato, anyone who reads Greek philosophy, they denied prophecy. Right? The Yevonim did not believe that, you know, the first cause is too big and too holy, you know, to have anything to do with mankind. Right? He knows the stars, but he doesn't know us. Right? You know, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, HaMashpili Liros B'Shamayim V'Oretz. It's only if he denigrates himself to look at Shamayim, he could look at Oretz also. That's what we say. Right? But they didn't believe in Nevuah. They didn't believe in Ashgacha Pratis. They didn't believe in Bria Yesh Me'ayin. Right? Now, their worldview thrives, you know, when the world looks the way it works after Chorban HaBayis. Because in a world that's empty and there's a void of divine revelation, that's, you know, that's fair ground for these apikorsis, right, to develop. You know, because there's nothing apparent in reality that contradicts what they say. Right? So the whole world, the whole Western world, this is what Chazal mean. It's a Gemara in India that says like this: Lo nismale tzor ela mechorbana shel Yerushalayim. Tzor, you know, which represents Rome and the whole Western world, it got built up from the Chorban of Yerushalayim. What does that mean? Right, it said, Lo nismale tzor ela mechorbana shel Yerushalayim. What built up the whole Western civilization was Chorban Yerushalayim. That means like this: the whole Western culture, with all the apikorsis therein, right, and with all the denial and with all of the lack of aspiration to find God and connect to God, that got built up, meaning that it had a facade to reality that seemingly backs that up. I mean, there's a vacuum of Gilui Shechina, which gives fair room for Pischoim Peh, for Baal Din to say, God doesn't care about us. God is not looking at us. Chorban HaBayis built them up. Chorban HaBayis, where Gilui Elokus went to Hester, became hidden and concealed, that gives plenty of room for people to say, Chas V'Shom, less din, v'less dain. The whole Western civilization got built up, Mechorban HaShel Yerushalayim, right? You know, you cannot explain to a philosopher that his whole everything that he thinks from the very, very fundamentals of it is wrong, right? But this is the root of anti-Semitism. Why is it, right, that a Jew gets on a train, right, the whole train feels uncomfortable, right? Right, a Jew comes to a party, ruins the whole party. Right? We really, really, you know, it's a Rachmanis on the going. We really, really get on their nerves. Right? Right, just by our mere presence. Right? So I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapira Shlita. They said, because, you know, somehow, as the Gemara says, Afagav diulo chaze, mazle chaze, even though they don't see, but their root in heaven does see that we're a threat to their way of life. Because the secular way of life, which is called tohu, right, where things are shapeless and formless, no ashgacha pratis, God is out of the picture, that's threatened by what we're supposed to bring into world. We're supposed to be Or LaGoyim, a light unto nations, and supposed to, you know, tell the world. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ayidei the Navi, Atem Eidai Nu Mashem. We're his witnesses. We attest to his being the Borei and the Manig. And, you know, the Shekhinah, the vehicle for the Shekhinah in the world, the vehicle for the divine revelation is the Jewish people. God chose the Jewish people as where he'll place his Shekhinah. V'shachanti b'socham. Right? So a Jew is a threat to a guy's way of life, and they feel it, right? Because their culture, and being complacent with their culture, we are with very mediocre demands from humanity, not particularly striving for holiness, certainly not striving for nevuah, Not striving for Ruach Karsh, not striving for the absolute values that Karsh will demand from us. You know, they could be very comfortable and complacent in a world where the Elokus, where divinity is hidden. Problem is, you know, it rides on us. We're the Merkava for Gili Elokus. And they feel it every time a Jew walks in the room. So it just makes them crazy. What did also Russia say in Mein Kampf? We give the world a conscience. Right, we hit the world twice, he says. Begufu benefesh, we gave them bris milah, you know, pagama guf, and we give them a conscience, right? Because the Jewish people cannot be separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And even though, you know, it looks like we cast us away, he's still bonded with us. Kishagolu Yisrael, golsa shechina imahem, and that's why wherever we go, we make goyim feel uncomfortable. Right. Because we represent a different world order. Their world order thrives when Elokus is hidden. Right? And we are the ones that remind them this is not the real world. The way you look at the world, the way you look at life, that's not the real thing. It's not what God had in mind when he created the world. He wants a world where everyone's perpetually conscious of God, serves God, in contact with God. Right? Everything that's, you know, about, you know, being the chosen people. So, Mimela, right, the Avelus on Chorban Habayis is not something of the past. It's the pain of an open wound. Right? We're not crying over something that happened, right? You know, 2,000 years ago. Right? And maybe it's a problem that the kinnus have to be seriously updated. You know, maybe people get a feeling for the kinnus that we're talking about, you know, bad things that happened once, and when that's not really the point. Right? The point is to talk about how tragic things are here and now, that we're living in a world without a Beis HaMikdash. We're living in a world without Nevuah. And as a result of that, we're living in a world where there's, you know, no absolute morality. Right? You know, everyone sees what's happening, how, you know, the morality is eroding more and more out there. And we don't have to make our mouths dirty with details. Right? You know, the Avelus on Chorban Habayis is not crying over the past. The Avelus Chorban Habayis is the pain of crying over an open wound, where there's an open wound that's been there and gotten infected over 2,000 years for not having been treated yet. Right, the world is blemished without a Beis HaMikdash. The world is not according to plan. Right, with Siluk HaElokus, right, with the divinity being missing and being in hiding, right, the world is not the world that God wanted. Right, and that's where all, you know, the Ramchal teaches us in his farm, everything that's wrong in life can be traced to an absence of divine light. He writes this repeatedly in all his farim. Right, says even problems in health, problems in shalom bias, problems with parnasa. Says the Ramchal, you should know. You know, so the sciences want to say it's because this, because that. It's not. There's one reason for all the deficiencies that there are in the Bria. Siluk Elokus, the fact that divinity is not revealed. Because says the Ramchal like this, try to chemically analyze anything that you would call bad. You'll see it has no mass to it. Right, poverty. Right, you know, a person who's poor, God forbid, he doesn't get hit with like anti-money or anything like that. Right, he just doesn't have money. Right, a person who's sick, Rahman al-Tzan, he just doesn't have health. A person who's dead just doesn't have life. And the same goes on and on. You know, all chisronot, miloshem chaser, is that something's missing. Everything that's bad is just called that something's missing. What's missing? What's missing is divine light, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a kesher to the cosmos, there's bracha, there's ribui, right? Because existence is good, v'alkim ki tov. So if there's a lack of good, it means there's a lack of existence. Existence comes from God. The more he's connected to the world, the more there's a state of bracha. The real cause for why the economy is not so good, or the real cause why people, Rachman Hatzlan, are getting sick, is not because of this, that, and the third thing. Right? It's because there's an absence of divine light, that the divine light that creates health and the divine light that creates wealth is withdrawn. It's behester panim. Right? All the chisronos in the Bria are all rooted in Chorban Habayis. And that's what Chazal say, El Chayom Sheh Berchosim Ruben Chavero, they say it in, you know, Lashon Saginor. It's not a single day, that the curse of the day is not worse than the day before. Every day without the Beis HaMikdash is like another day where the open wound is not getting treated. That if it's not getting treated, it's only getting worse. So the pain of over Churban HaBayis, what the 3 weeks about, what the 9 days are about, right, is the pain of crying over an open wound. And that pain is a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Because imagine if a sickness didn't hurt. Imagine if an injury didn't hurt. What would be? People wouldn't get treated. People wouldn't get treated. You know, imagine if sickness or injury would actually feel good. Right? People mamash run themselves into the ground. Right? It's a chesed me'akarish baruch hu that he created pain, right, for the situations that are painful, because that's the impetus, right, to do something about it. Right? Right? Pain over the past, that's ridiculous. Right? That has no place for any thinking person. But pain for a problem in the present, that's what makes you do something about it. And this is what the Maharal says on the famous Gemara, that you don't have a single blade of grass. It doesn't have a star in heaven. A mazel barkeh, shemakebo, v'omelo gadol. You know, it hits it and tells it to grow. So ask the Maharal, why does it have to hit it? Yeah, because no one moves if they're not in pain. That's why. So it's not going to grow, as we call growing pains, right? If you're not in pain, if you're not in discomfort, you just stay, you know, status quo. You just, you know, inertia, right? Pain makes people move, right? The pain over being sick, the pain over having any type of tzara is a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's what forces us to remedy the situation. That is the nature of the tzar. When a person has to be meitzar, our churban HaBayis, it's to not be oblivious to the pain of an open wound that there is in reality. Right, that a world without a Beis HaMikdash, a world without Gilui Elokus, a world without prophecy, everything that's included in that, right, that's a damaged world. That's a bleeding world. Right, that's a world that is moving towards, you know, self-destruction if nothing else happens. All right, so we have to take the pain of the 9 days, you know, not to forget about it. You know, I guess it runs parallel to medicine. There's a big critique on many doctors. They treat the symptoms. They don't treat the cause, right? Painkillers, right? All right, so during the 9 days, we have our siyumim, we have whatever else, right? Painkillers. Right now, first thing we're going to do, right? Try to forget about how uncomfortable the 9 days were. That's bad, right? That's like the person who ignores pain, right? Takes the painkillers, never treats the real cause of the problem, right? And the problem gets worse and worse. Right? The pain of, you know, being meitzar and doig, our churban HaBayis, to be aware that there's an open wound in reality, right? And it has to be treated. So now, if we had, you know, the 9 days every year, it's a chesed from Chazal they instituted to wake us up that we shouldn't forget that what we call normal, normal life is not normal at all. And it's totally unacceptable. It might be acceptable to Plato. It might be acceptable to the Western world. They call that normal. The world, what they call normal, we call a very sick world. A world that's debilitated. A world that has fallen far from what God intended. Right? A world that will not see bracha, will never see world peace. World peace, right? Peace in our times. Right? What Oiso, you know, guy in Washington is talking about, wants to see peace in our times. Right? You won't see peace in our times if you legalize gay marriage. Right? Lo yiso goyo goy cherev, lo yimdu al milchama, right? The Yudim, right? The destiny of bracha everywhere. And world peace is when there's Gilui Elokus. When there's divine revelation, then the world is optimal. And then, v'gar zev in keves. And then, lo yomadu ad milchama. Then, there's parnasa for everybody, berevach, with Gilui Elokus. That's what's going to bring peace. And that's what's going to bring prosperity. And that's what's going to bring the world to its destiny. That's what will bring us to our fulfillment. Being a man as opposed to an animal culminates with being a Navi. Right? And it's possible, even bizman hazeh, to attain Ruach HaKodesh. Right? We're just very accepting of our deficient selves as normal. And it's not. And that's what the pain of the 9 days is. It's to wake us up. You know, it's the pain of an open wound. This is not normal. This needs treatment. We'll just end with a medrash. And its medrash was mamash mekuyam biyameinu, Hashem Yerachem. Right? The medrash says that after, you know, Esav said about Cain, right? Shoteya Cain. Cain was an idiot. Right, because he tried to kill Hevel in order to inherit the whole world for himself. But meanwhile, Adam went back to Chava, and he had Chase. Right? He's an idiot. That's not how you do things. I'm going to do it right. Yikrimu Yivei Evel Avi Vargas Yaakov Achi. You know, he was conspiring to kill Yitzhak Avinu. So I'm going to kill Yitzchak, and then I'm going to kill Yaakov, and then I'm going to inherit everything, right? Well, so then came Paro and said, Shotaya Esav, right? Because while he was waiting for his father to die, Yaakov went to Paddan Aram, got married, and had a whole family. No, that's not how you do it. I'm going to do it right. Call Aben, right? Hayora Tashlichu. You got to kill all the boys. That's how you do it. Right? That's how you get the job done. Then Haman came and said, Shotaya Paro. Paro's an idiot. Right, because while he was concentrating on killing all the menfolk, you know, he left the women, and b'shchus nashim tzidkanios nigalu kayadua, the women saved Klai, so that's not how you do it. I know how to do it right. Right? You got to kill everybody. You know, nashim, you know, taf, you have to kill everyone, the women and the children, even the Eved Kanani, according to some shittas, were also up for execution, even the avodim, kol nilvim alem. That's how you do it. That's how you rid the world of the Jewish people. You got to kill them all. You can't leave them anything. Right? And the world has been in Haman mode ever since, right? Until also Russia and Germany, right? But then says the Medrash, right? Says then Asid Gog. Gog is going to come and say, Shaita Haya Haman. Right? Haman was an idiot. He didn't know what he was doing. Because also Am Yeshlom Patron Godol Bashamayim. This nation has a great patron in heaven. He's the real problem. Right? We have to take him down first. And that's what the old Dor HaMelech said. Nostu al Hashem va'al Mashicho. Right? That the goyim are usit to make war with God. Right? Because God's the real problem. Because you know, you got to get rid of God if you want to get rid of the Jewish people. Right? So ask the Shlo HaKadosh. Right? How do you make war with God? So he says, right? It's very simple. You make God irrelevant. You just drive him out of the world by making him irrelevant. You spread apikorsos, and you spread apathy, and you erode values, and to the point that people are okay with it, think it's normal. Gay marriage, it's normal, right? You erode people's values, and you take God out of their lives. That's how you kill God. That's how you kill God, by making him irrelevant. The Shlo said this 500 years ago. Right? And Oy Lanu said, that's Kach also Lanu Biyamenu. Right? He took God out of the in public domain. No religion. Right? Shem Yirachim. Right? There's a war on God. Right? Also with the issue of the equality in marriage. So I know for a fact, it's in the news, you could see it, right? They're lobbying in Washington. Any shul, any yeshiva that preaches otherwise, right, is going to lose their tax-exempt status. Right? Right? Some, you know, good Christian people, you know, who refuse to bake a cake for a wedding, such a wedding, they got a knas. Right? They were fined heavily. Right? And oloso busha, oloso klima, right? That ovdei avodah zarah are sticking up for the values of our Tanakh. And where are we? I mean, I hold halacha lemaaseh, we should find those Christians and pay them kefil, buy the mitzvah from them in the name of the Jewish community. Right? Otherwise, it shouldn't be a kitchug in shamayim, right? That the ovdei avodah zarah are sticking up for God's world and God's values and us, the chosen people that brought these values to earth, right? Where are we? Right? And if you become apathetic, you say, that's life, and that's normal. That's to be accepting of a world of Churban HaBayis, right? But in our state, that's called to be accepting of a godless world, right? And that's the plan, right? The liberals are coming to take down HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're coming for us next. They're coming for us next. Anyone, Be'enu, who has Be'enu Pekicha, could see this. And I want to tell you one more thing. The Beramayim Chaim, right? He has a sefer called the Shar Tefila, right? And he says an amazing thing, right? It's a frightening thing. And he explains something which goes on in the Agadatas, in Churban HaBayis, right? There's one thing common to the stories of Churban HaBayis and Maseches Gittin. For some reason, the mind doesn't work, right? Now, the greatest story that illustrates that point, right, is the story of Miriam Bas Baisus, right? You know, the rich woman. You know, it's like a story that gets any thinking person angry again every year. Sends the slave, right? Go bring me bread. Bring me, you know, the stuff I like, you know. Comes back, it's out, you know. But there's stuff, you know, one grade down. All right, bring me that. Comes back, right? Yeah. They're out of that. Yeah, get me the next thing. You get me the black bread. And whenever you read the story, it's enough to make a person, you know, really, explode from anger. What type... Where's her brains? Where are his brains? Just said, you know, either he should have figured out for himself or she should have given the order immediately on the spot. Get whatever's there. Right? So says the Ber Mayim Chaim in the Sefer Shaar Tefillah, he brings the pasuk in Yishayo. Right? Hachbeid Oznav, right? Hachbeid Oznav, Libo Hachbeid, right? Einav Hasha, right? That the Navi says, you know, about Am Yisrael, their eyes are blind, their ears are blocked, their heart is blocked, you know. So says, you know, the Ber Mayim Chaim, it's not the pshat he's describing how obtuse the Jewish people are. It's more than that. When the Gzera comes out from Shemayim, the first thing is to make people apathetic. Apathy is the sign that the Gzera was already Yotze. Because the first effect that when the Gzera is Yotze from the Beis Din Shemayim, it has effect on the mind immediately. Since Kfar Nigzer Gzera, you don't deserve to do tshuva. You don't deserve to do tshuva. Since Kfar Nigzer Gzera, right, you don't deserve to escape. So even though Akash is not going to take away your Bechira, even though Akash is not going to take Bechira, but the mind is affected by the Gzera, they become apathetic. Right? So even though you still have your Bechira, you become very apathetic. You don't wake up. Right? He says, it'll pass. You know, the good bread will be back in tomorrow. Right? There was a Havamina where she won't eat today. Maybe tomorrow the good bread will be back. You become apathetic. You become blind. You become deaf. You become dumb. Right? Because Kfar Nigzera Gzera. And that's also the pshat, what it says, Meshiv Chachamim Ochor. Chazal said, Barav Yochran Ben Zakkai. He had what to answer. He could have answered Aspasianus, and he didn't. Meshiv Chachamim Ochor. Korshku took away his wisdom. When the Gzeira is Yotze from Shemayim, right, the mind is immediately affected. It should not be easy for you to detect danger and escape if there's already a Gzeira on you. It should not be easy for you to do tshuva. Right? You had your chance. Apathy is the greatest sign, Rachmano Litzan, Kvar, Nigzera, Gzera. Right? I asked my father. My father got out on the last boat from Germany. Like, what did you wait for 1939? It got out B'nais. He said, no one believed what really happened. Even though it was a Kristallnacht already, no one believed what really happened. Right? That was what he heard. Said worse things, you know. Said the Jews in Germany thought he was just speaking about the Eastern Europeans because they didn't like them either. Mamish kacha, sinas chinam. Mamish, right? But the apathy is a sign that chas v'shalom kvar nigzera gzera. Right? And a person is apathetic of what's going on in the news about the Iran deal and about the gay marriage and all these things happen together, not b'mikra. If there's apathy, right, and that's something for evangelical Christians to tackle, why should the nation of the book actually deal with these things? And we'll let for the Christians and for the Ovdei Avodah Zarah to stand up for morality. That is Rachmanus on the biggest sign, right? That Kvar Nigzera Gzera. The apathy is a sign that the Gzera is already Yotze Min HaShemayim. Right? And that's what happened. That's why people did not run in the Holocaust. It's all the same Hezber. Right. Hashem Yazor, right, that the pain that we had, you know, for these 3 weeks, and particularly these last 9 days, and what we went through today, right, so even though we're not supposed to be manic depressants, well, we should go back to our meat and our wine, but we have to also go back with an awareness that we have a condition that needs treatment, and everyone in his own way has to strive to be Megala Kvod Malchus Shamayim, strive for Gilui Hakus, and yes, and even strive that you should perfect your tzom to be a little bit more holy, a little more connected to the divine. You should be able to feel Shabbos, you should maybe even feel and be zochet to a nitzutz of Ruach HaKodesh.